Jack.
Yeah?
Do you think some people... Do you think that there's some people that aren't really... that are actually robots living among us?
No.
That we can't tell?
No, we don't have the technology yet. But Ridge.
Yeah? Yeah?
You know what I was thinking? Stop playing. I was thinking of a fucking brilliant song.
Yeah?
Check it out. Just do what I do.
Okay.
Just play this note.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
You son of a bitch.
Okay, all right. All right, here we go.
Oh, yeah!
You are listening to the Total Default Radio Show. I am your host for today, Breno, and I am here joined with the one and only proverbial golden boy, monster of smashing and mosh pits and such and so forth, 365 Days of Horror, or as we call him, Jordan. Jordan, how the hell are you doing today?
Joe is out of the country, so I'm feeling good.
Joe has left the country. He's gonna
eat a lot of peaches.
I can only assume. Where did he go? I don't think I got that information.
He went south of the border.
Ah, yes. Hmm. How south? How south are we talking here?
I don't know. I assume he's kidnapped by a cartel at this point, just spilling all of the website secrets.
Yeah, I'm sure. They're quite valuable, you know.
How we just farm out all of our articles to another third world country.
Right.
Just banging out nonsense in hopes of getting those sweet, sweet clicks that don't give us any money because we don't have ads.
Or how we farm out writing to a bunch of dudes in America who cut off sleeves regardless of weather. Got some weather coming up, man. I over here in old Massachusetts, I've got some winter scares going on. I don't know if it's going to be 1 inch or 20 inches. Everybody's got something different to say, but we should be getting some snow this afternoon. I was told it's 100% chance, which is that's pretty bold. It's a pretty bold claim for a meteorologist to make at any point in his career.
Isn't it amazing how there is just no consensus from website to website or even news channel to news channel about how much snow we're actually going to get, like, within the next couple of hours?
My only assumption is that accumulation is just, like, a tough thing to measure. I mean, they say there's going to be a lot of snow, but maybe there's, like, lots of factors as far as, like, how the ground feels, whether or not Abbott is available to cover the world in a layer of permafrost. He's not now. He's in rehab.
Which right. Good for him. He's getting the help he needs.
Finally. That man has been drunk his entire life. I've not seen him.
When you look back at old interviews, you think he's being just fun and delightful, and it's like, oh, he was probably drunk.
Very, very, very inebriated. We've all seen the footage, of course, the video of him falling all over his own complete ass trying to perform in front of a South American crowd. And dropping his guitar, stopping the song. There's this one really sweet video where this random South American lady is just hugging him and telling him he's okay as he's, like, crying into her bosom after the
Jeez.
Show. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Very trashed. So we hope that Abbott there gets the help that he needs. Alcohol is very bad, and it's a real addiction. So
I did see you had about 29 beers left over from Thanksgiving.
I have a lot more than that left over Thanksgiving because I bought my own beer. I am a good host and I provided, and people just assumed that it was a BYOB kind of a thing because this is my first Thanksgiving and they don't know that I take care of the bills and I'm, you know, have plenty of money left over. I don't know. I don't know what happened. Maybe they're just being polite and I'm just being cynical, but yeah, a lot of people brought over beer. My dad specifically brought over a 30 rack of Bud Light. Which means there are now 29 Bud Light cans chilling on my porch because he was the only one who had one. And I live in a brewery town. There are a lot of funky, really great craft beers that I've grown accustomed to, Bud Light is kind of the opposite of that.
You could always bring it to work and be a work hero.
I'm always that's what I'm going to probably do. But the the issue there is that where I work is attached to a brewery. All the people are the same way. Everyone's a snob. So I don't know, man. I think I'm just in for the long haul. I think I'm just going to chug these and go Abbott myself.
Well, you need to do something when you're snowed in. Might as well drink good old American beer.
Yeah.
Did you actually like cook the turkey and do the whole deal?
I did the whole deal, man. I cooked the turkey myself, did the gravy myself. My wife did a bunch of pies. My mother-in-law did like some of the sides, like the, you know, potatoes, et cetera, et cetera. This was my first go at like a 20-something pound turkey all on my own. And I followed like a brine recipe. I heard so much different crap as far as how to get a turkey prepared. And usually what I do is I just Google the best. I Google the best thing, and I click on the first thing because usually it has hundreds of thousands of votes on it, and I just go with that. It was complicated, man. Lots of goo, lots of veggies, lots of just a bag and a cooler and a turkey, and you have to leave it there for 3 days and hope that somehow that doesn't lead to contamination, but I don't know. Seems to work out just fine. It was a delicious bird.
No one got brutally sick?
I got brutally sick. But It wasn't from the turkey. Everybody else was fine. I got brutally sick because I drank 20 beers and ate 20 pieces of pie.
Yeah, that'll probably do it.
Right. So, I mean, I had beer. There was a lot of beer. I didn't drink any of the Bud Light. So,
now, see, the Bud Light would have settled your stomach.
So listen, we should probably get into what we're going to get into on the show as we tend to get into stuff. So you have a little clippy doodad because you went out on your own and you talked to a couple of people. And we'll play that at some point in the show. But why don't you kind of give us a go ahead as far as how that went down, who you spoke with, and what kind of technical difficulties you ran into.
Before we actually get into that, I just want to remind people that we're having our holiday gift exchange episode coming up in a couple weeks.
Oh, yes.
Where we all send each other fun and delightful gifts. My shopping is already done. And if anyone is interested in sending us some stuff, which will open up on air and it'll be a good time, you could just send any of us a message on Twitter at Joe Thrashinghill, at That's Not Metal, at 365 Days of Horror, or send us an email at toiletofhellradio@gmail.com, and we'll give you our addresses and we'll do the thing. But back to the show, I saw Static X. Remember them?
No. Yes, no, I do, of course.
You do, don't
I? I remember, of course. Let's just say I pushed it out of my memory.
You would get psyched if you heard Static X on the radio right now. Come on.
I would get stoked if I heard anything on the radio that wasn't like Imagine Dragons and in that vein. But it's true. Static X, I mean, at the time I was probably, what, 12, 13, 14? They were great. They were awesome. They were different.
It was the perfect age for that sort of thing.
Of course. It was the time when music could experiment with itself and still end up on some sort of mainstream platform. Doesn't happen anymore.
And I interviewed the drummer Ken Jay and the bassist Tony Campos, and we kind of get into it a little bit how, like, when they started to become more popular, there were a lot of outlets to allow that to happen, whether it was seeing them late at night on MTV with their music video for Push It, or hearing songs on like regular terrestrial radio,
right,
or having their songs in soundtracks for video games, and how that like media was actually in its own way supportive of new and upcoming heavy bands. And now, while there's a chance for lots of more bands to gain some sort of attention through Bandcamp, Spotify, all these other mostly internet-related things, a lot of bands now just kind of reach like a medium level and like really don't go much beyond it. Like, you know, I hate to bring up like Blood Incantation is a good example of a band that like has a lot of buzz online and will definitely get people live. But, like, there's nowhere else for them to go, really.
No, of
and,
course.
And it's somewhat, you know, yes, they're a death metal band, and they'd be too heavy for a lot of places, but there isn't even, a Headbangers Ball or a late night metal radio show to kind of boost them even further. It's just, if you're on Twitter, you know about them. Right. Or if you like read Toilet of Hell, you know about them. Beyond that, you have no idea.
And hey, none of you college radio jockeys chime in, okay? You don't count.
As a former college radio jockey, you don't count.
You don't count, okay? Bloody Incantation is very weird for me as far as like how to describe them in popularity, because for all intents and purposes, they are not popular in terms of like popularity within music, in terms of probably popularity within metal music. I mean, bands in the upper echelon, we're talking even like bands like Arch Enemy, Amon Amarth, stuff that has harsh vocals but has way bigger fan bases, completely outsells and outstreams something like Blood Incantation every day, you know?
Go ahead.
No, it's just hard to kind of really describe them, because there's, I think what we call hype and popularity just might be a result of the bubble that we're in. We're just surrounded by like underground metal bloggers who really care about like, you know, scummy bar music. And so that's who we see everybody freaking out about, because that's who a band like Blood Incantation will appeal to, people who really like scummy lo-fi death metal.
Yeah, and it's not a knock against Blood Incantation.
No, of course
not. I want to be clear with that. I mean, everyone on the show is a fan of the band. It's just, like you said, we're kind of in that bubble. And while we hear the same 10 or 15 of our friends on Twitter going nuts about that album, it's a lot different out in the real world. And in the real world, there isn't the same support system for some of these heavier bands that used to be there, like when Static X was coming up.
I've come up with a term for this kind of stuff. It's called metal blog metal. And that's not to knock it. It's just that's what, I don't know, it's just this weird bubble that we've created for ourselves online. I feel like even what we call quote-unquote metal Twitter or metal Facebook is probably way bigger than the circle that you and I are engaged in, just because it's such a massive genre and there's so many bands. But
yeah, it's like seeing the lineup for Migration Fest come out. And seeing people get super excited for it, and people are going to travel across the country to see it, and that's awesome. That's cool that people are so psyched for it. But like when I look at that lineup, it's kind of like I can see these bands. They tour pretty regularly, and I could probably see them on my own with a lot less people there. And again, it's not a knock against them. It's just we're in that bubble again.
Yeah, and then a lot of the bands, I'm stoked they get to play a festival because – you know, a lot of them are more of your dive bar types. They're more of the opener acts, that kind of stuff. So it's cool that, I mean, God knows, I've never been to Migration Fest. I don't know how it actually gets put on. I don't know if it is like a big field with a big main stage or.
I think it's a venue.
Oh, so it's like, see, I don't
know. It's a long show.
It's just a long show at a venue.
Yeah, over like 2 days, put on by Gleed Media.
Hot take here is I feel like a festival has to be on a lawn. It's not a festival. That's just me. It's just what gets in my head. When I think of festivals, especially if you consider a festival in Europe, it's all on a big lawn and outside in a huge stage with big signs and everything. That to me has always been a festival. I feel like we're pretty fast and loose with what we call festivals, particularly the New England Metal and Hardcore Festival, which is way big. I don't even want to call
it. It disappeared. They didn't have one last year.
Oh, no, they didn't.
So they quietly went away.
That just slipped up past me. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, well, the American Heavy Metal Festival is obviously different from the European one. The only ones we really seem to get are more like touring festivals, where it's the same like Monster Energy lineup bouncing around like the American Midwest and the South. And they have different names, whatever, Caroline Rebellion, Exit, 111, this and that, but it's all more or less the same bands, and it's tended to be headlined by a much older established band that'll actually draw people like a System of a Down or a Guns N' Roses. And a lot of those festivals tend to go away after a year or two because it's so expensive to do.
They're incredibly expensive to do. I remember you guys were talking to Joseph Schaefer of Brooklyn Vegan claim to fame as far as like how what he has to go through as far as like just setting up Northwest Terror Fest. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it takes a lot of work, a lot of doing. You have to be very, very dedicated to what you do to, like, get this whole thing together. And I'm sure the financial strain is immense. And so a lot of people who do want to put something like that together, they do have to do the old grift we're talking about. I don't think Joseph does this, but
no.
Where they have to have bands pay for the tickets up front and try to sell them so that they can in return pay these headliners to get the draw and get tickets to make this whole thing worthwhile.
Speaking of paying for tickets, that's what happened with this show with Static X. It was a metal festival. There's a second stage, and it started at 12:30, and there were a bunch of local bands on. It was actually funny. There was, because this was a tour, it's like Static X, Dope, Wednesday 13, and Raven Black, and then it was all local bands. When Dope was on, Edsel Dope made a crack about like seeing 37 bands playing a show. And then when Static X played and their masked vocalist Zero, who definitely 100% isn't Edsel Dope, wink, 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 made a crack about seeing like 57 bands.
There's always that number 7 as the random number. I know how it goes.
It's a lucky number.
But, I hear myself whenever I'm listening to the show. I'm like, God, what is with being the number 7? It's like 47 billion times I've had to blah, 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 you know, et cetera. So.
But I did catch most of the real bands. When I got in, I saw the band Raven Black. And you know how some people might make fun of nu metal, saying it's like, oh, it's just carnival music, or it's like Hot Topic music. Raven Black is actually carnival music.
Just actually.
Like actually. With like. Dressed up like clowns. And the thing is, if they came out in like 1998, 1999, they would have been huge because they go all in on that clown stuff.
Oh,
it's like
no.
Ready for Hot Topic, Nightmare Before Christmas crowd.
It's too bad, man. They missed the decade, I think.
Well, you know, there were people into it, so there is always going to be that crowd. And
oh, of course there are fans. I just think that they could be mansion dwellers, but they just missed out, you know.
Yeah, well... Already. Maybe there'll be another nu metal revival. But there were people there at the show, and there were people psyched to see all these bands. I lasted about 2 to 3 songs from Wednesday 13 before I went, I can't take this anymore.
I don't know, man. I don't know if it's just me. Some people like that. Some people love the idea of spending an entire day watching metal bands from like 11 o'clock to 11 o'clock. That's just awesome for them. Clearly, because these things still go on, I think. How early did you get there?
I had the interview around like 4 o'clock, but then I killed about 3 hours. So I'm just like, I am not sitting through all this. And I got in right as Raven Black was playing. So I was kind of grateful for that. And then Dope was Dope and Static X. They waited about an hour and change to get onto the stage with. Pissed me off a lot because I thought it was going to be an early night. Like, Dope was done at 9:30, and I'm like, hell yeah, we're going to get this thing over with. But no, Static X didn't go on until like 10:30.
What the fuck? What do you do for that hour?
But they were really good, so okay. It was worth it. And I'm like standing there contemplating, I'm like, do I just want to go home? No, you've never seen them before. You're never going to get to see them again. Stick around. And it was a lot of fun. It was fun to hear a lot of the old songs that never had a chance to see live. They had a bunch of like LED screens. So there was video going on and all sorts of stuff. And they sounded great and it was worth it.
Fantastic. Well, listeners, you can look forward to the interview. We're going to play it at the end of our chat here. But before that, we're going to get into a couple bits and pieces of metal news and maybe talk some smack the way that we usually do. So
your dander is up.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. There's going to be all sorts of stuff that we discuss that's important. Kevin Hart wore an Exodus shirt, everybody. So okay. Metal's officially canceled. So says Gary Holt, the greatest, most well-trained gatekeeper, just swinging his blade in front of metal's, you know, iron gates. Gary Holt's always got some shit to say, though, because he was a guitarist in Exodus, and anyone who wears a shirt of a band that he's in that is famous and not a white person, you know, they got to hear about it, right?
Wasn't he okay with Kevin Hart wearing it, like, in comparison to a Kardashian?
Let's get right into the quote. the context is that Kevin Hart was wearing an Exodus shirt during an interview alongside Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and it's very funny to watch those two together. It's like a Pomeranian next to a Great Pyrenees. It's just so funny. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is just a massive guy, and Kevin Hart is not massive by any means.
He's like 4'11".
He's like 4'11". He's very small. But they were having a interview where they were promoting their new film, Jumanji, The Next Level, which we're definitely going to go see, right?
I saw the first one in the comfort of my own home. It was fun for what it was.
I mean, it was probably fun because Robin Williams was in it.
That's the first one.
Right.
Remake first one.
Wait, so there's a remake first one?
Yeah, they remade it the 2-3 years ago with The Rock and Jack Black and a couple other people, where it's a video game instead of a board game.
Yeah, that's fucking stupid. I didn't know about that. I hate that. I hate this. We'll see. Anyway, let's see what Gary Holt has to say. Gary Holt says, "Okay, everyone. Yes, I've seen this. Is he a fan? I highly doubt it. More like his stylist bought it for a small fortune at some vintage t-shirt shop. If it's not a modern bootleg. How do I feel? Eh. Another dude using metal shirts to look edgy. Who knows? But I'm a huge Kevin Hart fan, so I give him a pass because he makes me laugh my ass off, laughing emoji." Way to go, Gary.
It's okay because he likes him.
Yeah, it's okay because he likes him. You're a huge Kevin Hart fan. Just immense. Gary Holt, big Kevin Hart fan, everybody. Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot to unpack here that we haven't unpacked already, but just the immediate assumption that, of course, his stylist got it from a small fortune at a vintage t-shirt shop. I mean, fuck, probably true.
Are you telling me that Kevin Hart doesn't do the toxic waltz? You can't prove that. You don't know, Gary.
I mean, I just don't want to jump to the conclusion that Kevin Hart does not punch his friend in the head and have a ball.
Maybe he's really into, you know, early wave thrash, or maybe he's like really into Gangrene or something, and he's just starting to get into Exodus and Testament and Annihilator and all these other bands that are still touring 30 to 40 years later.
Yeah, you don't know, Gary. Kevin here could be taking his chance on his tough new dance. Could be.
Possible.
I mean, I don't – how the fuck do we know? I mean, it's so easy to assume, because I think at the end of this, it's because he's – a celebrity who's not white. It seems a little racist to me to assume, because you got Kanye going around in the Cradle of Filth shirts, and the thing is, Kanye is so nuts that I don't doubt for a second he'll put on a Cradle of Filth album.
He just busts out an amphetamine whenever he feels like it.
Yeah, and he just he sits by like this roaring fire on like a bearskin rug, just
with nothing else in the room.
And nothing else on except his Cradle of Filth shirt. Just Dick hanging out, standing there pondering the intricacies of a song like Nymphetamine. Yeah.
He's getting the heat from the fire on his butthole to cleanse him.
I've seen those. I've seen this thing.
That's a reference I
That's
know.
That's a thing that I've seen. I've seen these guys holding their assholes up to the sun. Does it work? I don't know. I'll have to try it out for myself, but I can't. Because winter is about to come down on us like a big frosty milkshake, and I'm not about to put my asshole up to that.
Maybe the snowflakes will cleanse you.
Maybe I can measure how many inches of snow end up in my asshole, and then I can give an accurate measurement of total accumulation to these weather facilities that aren't just giving me mine, you know?
I mean, you could look out the window and see if your juggalo neighbors are doing that already.
Sore subject. Not really, but I don't know. I just, the last thing I ever want to see is their open assholes. They're probably grayer than usual. All right, moving on. So, look, Ollie Herbert is the guitarist from All That Remains. He is, right? He kills himself, or is just found dead near a pond, which is weird. He's just by a pond and he's dead. They keep alleging that he's by a pond. What does that have anything to do with anything? Can they just say he's, like, dead? I'm sure people die by things. It's never once been in the news that, like, oh, was found dead this morning by a tree.
I don't know if it has to do with the way he died, perhaps drowning or of other means. I don't think it's ever really been fully delved into for obvious reasons.
Oh, I think it's he was found dead in a pond, which is important. Because I said initially his widow, Elizabeth Herbert, who... Elizabeth, I don't know, initially said that Herbert had drowned and claimed a toxicology report showed that Ollie was apparently self-treating for manic depression, thereby implying that Herbert had suffered a fatal accident while intoxicated. Police said it's suspicious. Police said, and during the investigation does get a little wacky. There was that whole thing where him and his wife go to a car dealership, I think, and they ask some random car salesman to be a witness for, like, signing his will and testament. Really, it's weird stuff.
Yeah. A lot of shady stuff is gone on, and the story is kind of quieted down since it happened about a year ago. Other than there's an online contingent that has called themselves Justice for Ollie, alleging that his wife has done something or something had happened to cause his death. And now, this past weekend, a picture was taken of a billboard that was commissioned by the group asking people for anonymous tips if they have any information.
This is the billboard as read. Community alert. Suspicious death investigation. Of course, this is all in Impact font. So, community alert. Suspicious death investigation. Justice for Ollie. Oliver Herbert. Discovered in backyard near Hydeville Pond on 10/16/18. You can help us. Any information wanted. And here is the phone number as it is on the billboard. I'm not going to get in trouble for it because it's fucking on there for everybody to see. 860-896-3237. Remain anonymous. Any fucking guy can call this number and give some sort of tip, some sort of anonymous information about how they think Ollie Herbert died. And I'm sure that that line is going to be used to the best of its ability to find out what happened.
Yeah. I don't know. The whole situation is very sad and unfortunate. And I just kind of, it's like the Seinfeld gif where he just puts his hands up and gets up and walks away. That's kind of how I feel about the whole thing.
It's bad when people die, of course. Like, Ollie was an amazing guitarist in a not-so-amazing band. But overall, from what I've heard, very good dude, very nice dude. Local for my area, for the most part. I think this happened in, like, his Stafford Springs home in Connecticut, a place I frequented a lot. It's just, I don't know what the fuck they think they're going to accomplish by getting this whole hotline involved. I mean, you're probably just going to get hot takes on the internet about how his wife did it, except just called into the number. I can't imagine there's anyone out there who just really knows what happened between him and his wife and some poor car salesman who had to be witness to some really weird stuff.
Yeah, I guess it's just, it's something for those of his fans or family or whoever who feel helpless a year later after his death, and they're just hoping for something, and I don't know how much it's going to help them, but you never know. Maybe someone has heard something since then and something will happen. But yeah, I don't know. What else are you going to do?
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like the police are on it. They're asking the right questions. They're already like, why the hell are you guys writing up a brand new will where you're giving your wife literally everything right before you just suspiciously kill yourself in your own backyard? It's just, I don't know. I feel like it doesn't. All right, I won't. I won't get into it. I won't, because what the fuck? I don't know.
You can talk about happier things.
I could, but I won't. So, go ahead.
We can talk about how there's a new best drummer in the world.
That is really happy, amazing news, isn't it?
It's incredible.
It's incredible. I didn't know that you could truly determine who the best drummer in the entire fucking world was. I didn't know there was a way to do that, but apparently there is. MusicRadar.com put up a totally open to everybody in the entire world to vote on it in any way they wanted to, as many times they wanted to, a voter poll on their website saying who was the very best drummer in the entire world. And let me tell you the nominees before we get into who was the guy.
There was no write-in?
I don't know. I didn't get to it because I didn't get to have a chance to say who the best drummer in the world is, because who the fuck knew about this poll before it announced who the best drummer in the world was, right?
What, you don't go to musicradar.com all the time?
Oh, well, I mean, I guess I just missed out this week. Man, it's been busy. I've been having Thanksgiving. But usually, yeah, musicradar.com is an extremely important website that deserves to be on all the headlines all the time about anything they've ever specified based on the outcome of a poll. So, here are the nominees. Jay Weinberg from Slipknot, Paul Bostaph from Slayer, Ray Luzier from Korn. Are you noticing a fucking trend? Jacques Walgren from Amon Amarth, still that way, still going. Chris Kontos from Machine Head, Christoph Schneider from Rammstein, Art Cruz from Lamb of God. Art Cruz from Lamb of God? Really?
Gun to my head, I could never tell you the name of Lamb of God's current drummer.
It's not Chris Adler.
Right.
And he's not on this list. But Art Cruz is. And then Jason Bittner from Overkill. So so apparently this is the best drummer who's replaced really good drummers in the past.
Yeah. That's right.
We got Chris Kontos from Machine Head. I don't even know if he's the current. If he's like, God, he could have started with them. I doubt it, but... No, that's impossible because Machine Head, they all broke up
all I remember about a year ago. Whoever the drummer from Machine Head was, is in the From This Day video, he had leopard print hair.
Ray Luzier from Korn? Really? At number three, Paul Bostaph, the guy who's not Dave Lombardo? That's literally Paul's entire claim to fame, is he's not Dave Lombardo?
Not the best list.
Not really. Danny Carey of Tool was in the honors category.
That's nice.
And then Eric Improta of Fever 333 won best rock drummer.
Look, I've never listened to a single note of Fever 333. I can guarantee you he is not the best rock drummer in the world.
I have not heard of Fever 333 until this very second, reading the name out loud, and I can't wait to play some music for you guys right now to determine whether you think this is the best rock drumming possible.
We are the melanin balance, we are the product of the partner of policy that you gotta love. Casinos, amigos on 40 acres of. They built the shit on our backs, made in America. Living in terror, but while they terrorize, cover your eyes, cause people terrified. Fuck all the promises you were promised, cause they're cutting your oxygen until you paralyzed.
Let me know in the comments below if that's how you felt. So here's the winner of best metal drummer in the world. Jay Weinberg from Slipknot. Best guy in the whole fucking world. He nailed it. He got it. It's well-deserved, of course, because it's not like Slipknot has dozens of millions of fans all on social media who had access to this poll and could have gone and voted on it. I'm sure without any preformed bias, right? They got there and they're like, well, I should really think who's the best drummer here.
Shouldn't it come with a little asterisk since Slipknot has multiple drummers?
I mean, I feel like you got two dudes backing you up on the bang bang pots. Maybe you can kind of dial it back a bit. You don't have to be the best if you got two other dudes percussing the percussions.
Is Joey Jordison just seething right now at this news?
Joey got robbed, right?
It's like that meme with the crying face underneath the happy mask, but it's actually Joey Jordison wearing the mask and tears running underneath it.
Let's see who else got robbed. What is it, David Silverman? Is that who's in Korn? Or David Silvera? What's his name?
Silvera, I think. Yeah, he was in Korn, and then he was in Core 10, which is just one of the not best bands ever.
Frederick Anderson was in Amon Amarth for, God, a very, very long time. If he wasn't their original drummer, I'm not 100% sure about that, but he's been a drummer for the band for a very long time, had a very distinctive kind of drumming sound, and then he gets replaced by Jacques Walgren, who is nominated here, and he's the fourth best drummer in the world among this. I don't even know if Christoph Schneider, I don't know how long he's been in Rammstein, but if it's anything like the rest of this list, I feel like this is a fucking punk. This is a prank, bro.
It's a very specific list of bands from a very specific genre of popular metal. I mean, nothing against Rammstein, but I guess I don't think of their drumming as the first thing like to come to mind when I think of them.
Well, my implication here is that this is like the world's best replacement drummer list.
Yeah.
Like, you guys filled the biggest shoes. Thank you. I don't know. The worst part about it is that Jay Weinberg went onto Twitter to, like, congratulate himself.
I did it.
But he goes on Twitter and he states, "Thank you. It's an honor to receive the title of Best Metal Drummer in Music Radar's 2019 Best in Drums poll. Thanks to everyone who voted. I sincerely appreciate your support and interest." He goes on, "Shout out to all the other incredible nominees. I'm endlessly inspired by this enormous community of drummers, and I'm grateful for every opportunity to experience their contributions to music." Nice, classy, Jay, really. Dude, why even say anything? Like, you know how this happened. Apparently, if you look at the poll, like, Jay Weinberg won by, like, he had more votes than all the other nominees combined.
Up your face, Vinny Appice.
Suck it, Keith Moon.
Well, I hope he's very happy with his historic win.
Yeah.
Do they get anything? Do they get like a little plaque, or is it just a pat on the back?
Yeah, it says, "I am the son of the guy who drums for Conan."
Drummed. He doesn't even drums for him anymore.
Drummed. You're right. Used to. But, I mean, he had to take full time off so that he could groom this fucking champion.
Good for him. I hope we're all very happy with our online polls. That's what I was asking if it was like a write-in, because knowing the internet, I'm surprised like they didn't choose Hitler to be the number one drummer.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm sure Jay Weinberg is a better drummer than Hitler. Probably better person. What with being Jewish, him and Hitler probably don't see eye to eye at a lot of things.
Hitler can't keep a beat. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, Hitler can't keep a beat. But and look, Jay Weinberg, of course he's an incredible drummer. Of course I wish I had half his skill. He's a good drummer. Of course he is. Like, fucking of course. I have nothing against the guy as a drummer, but he's just not the world's best. None of these guys are. By a lot. Like, there are just, I mean, fuck, the stuff we hear in metal drumming every day is just so insane and beyond me. These people are fucking machines. They have to be in order to keep up with the machines that everybody uses to, you know, make drumming and metal albums anyway.
Yeah, that's why we should just use machines. We don't need drummers anymore.
You just put in the PA. You guys can retire, especially now that you know that Jay Weinberg is the best. Just give up. There's no point. These are very silly and stupid. I hope that Music Radar goes out of business. That's just it's very dumb and stupid, and I hate it very much that we can just have anybody who any in the entire world, regardless of any sort of expertise in any field, just vote. Yeah, I like the one because the band I like that he made the best song because he was in the "Push My Fingers Into My Eyes" song. I like that one. I don't know. It's so dumb.
I was just curious, because I've never heard of Music Radar. They're owned by British media company Future PLC, which incorporates monthly music-making titles including Total Guitar, Guitarist, Rhythm, and Computer Music.
Fuck that. I hate that.
It identifies itself as, quote, "the number one website for musicians," end quote.
So, if you are a website for musicians, don't you think that you might be able to consult some people who might have some better takes about who you might want to have on your world's best heavy metal drummer pool?
I guess it just doesn't bring in the clicks when you put in the drummer from, I don't know, Pissgrave.
I guess not. But hey, I bet you the drummer from Pissgrave don't need no clicks, man. He just plays that shit free.
He just pisses all over his snare drum.
That's right. But we can move on from this. It's very dumb and silly, and Jay Weinberg is done. He's not the best drummer in the world. I love the headline, though, and I love the use of the headline, because obviously it's on purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we know about the article because of that.
Right. The only reason I even know about Music Radar is because that they're like, Slipknot's Jay Weinberg named best metal drummer in the world, blabbermouth.net. And then that's the fucking headline, and that's it. So you click on that because you're like, what the fuck? And then the website has you. You're ensnared in the trap. And you read, oh, it's a voter poll. There are more Slipknot fans than anything. Of course Slipknot fans are going to come into droves and vote for Slipknot because that's how that this works.
So what you're saying is we got to start doing that. Like Jay Weinberg from Slipknot named sloppiest dong in metal.
Hey, I'm still mad about the fact that Andy Williams lost sexiest dude in metal. You guys had fucking... The dude who actually won up against a corpse. It's ridiculous.
The people spoke.
The people fucked up, and they fucked up here. Online voting polls are bad. We got to stop them.
But Andy Williams from Every Time I Die is now trying to gain his revenge on All Elite Wrestling.
Andy Williams is proving everyone wrong, as he does all the time, with all his sexiness and glory, by showing himself on television. The man has made his TV professional wrestling debut. He's done it. He's in the ring.
On TV, that's a lot more than other people can say. The Butcher, as part of his team, The Butcher and the Blade, he attacked Cody Rhodes, which is a pretty big deal.
He actually hit Cody Rhodes?
It was like a suplex slash the Blade put his knees underneath Cody Rhodes while he fell. It was a finishing move, quite devastating, while Andy Williams was wearing a monocle. A monocle. That's confidence.
AEW, where does that get televised? Where does that get shown?
That is on TNT on Wednesday nights. The show is called Dynamite. It's been on about 2 months now in competition with WWE. And depending on how you feel about your professional wrestling, some people are super, super into it. And other people kind of like blow it off as... I guess more of a sports entertainment side of things than like professional wrestling.
Oh, what are your thoughts on all elite wrestling, which does not roll off the tongue very well. I would have workshopped
it. Does not.
I would have workshopped the hell out of that. That's not a good name.
Well, it came from some of the guys that run it. Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks,
right,
have a YouTube show called like Becoming the Elite. They're a tag team called the Elite, that sort of thing. So I guess they were just kind of going with a brand. So you get All Elite Wrestling, which AEW, I guess, sounds a lot better. I've never actually watched the show because I don't have cable. It's cable TV anymore.
That's the thing, is I don't either. So I'm a big fan of Cody Rhodes. I think he's an amazing wrestler. I've wanted to see this show. My brother goes off about it all the time. I don't know. I don't know how it is because it's on cable.
I think you could get some sort of TNT app, or you could watch it on YouTube. I think they post it later in the week. I know they have AEW Dark, which is like a couple matches that they throw up on YouTube as well. So it's there if anyone wants to see it. I think there are some good wrestlers in it. I think they do some good stuff. From what I've heard, there's some things that I absolutely like would not want to watch. So it's a mixed bag, and I think it kind of caters a little bit towards the smarter, more internet-savvy fan. So depending on how you feel about that sort of thing, it could be good or bad.
So it's like a show for smarks?
Kind of, yeah. Like, they make references, and it's a lot of moves. And if you like an athletic, like actual sport where there's a back and forth, sometimes it happens, and sometimes it's like, ooh, look at all these flips.
Butcher. As the listeners will hear, because I'm a huge idiot and I forgot I use OBS Studio to record these, you'll probably hear in the background that I'm actually watching the clip with Andy Williams giving Cody Rhodes this suplex. But hey, I'm glad he's getting that kind of top billing sort of promotion here.
Yeah, he's doing what he wants to do, which is pretty awesome, especially for someone who like has to tour a lot. Like, he's doing wrestling because he wants to do it, and he's done a good job.
That's cool news. So there is some good news, you know, sometimes.
I mean, there's good news in that it was Slayer's last show this past week. How are you dealing with the loss? Are you going to be okay?
I don't know what Gary Holt is going to do with himself. Do you think he's just going to gatekeep full time now?
I think it is a full-time job. I think already, he needs his own blog. He needs his own podcast. Maybe they can give him a show on MTV Ocho.
I mean, we already do that stuff aside from the MTV Ocho stuff. We gatekeep, what, with the podcast and the blog already.
Yeah, but we don't make any money off it. That's the difference.
Well, neither will he, trust me.
So how long do you think it's going to be until Slayer gets back together, either for a one-off show or recording more music or what?
I think they probably have one more album in the pipe. It'll be a very bad album. They're probably going to just fucking tour to show the album. They're just going to tour again, man. We know where this is going. Judas Priest's final tour has been how many times now?
Words don't have any meaning anymore. It doesn't matter.
They made a lot of fucking money from this tour. They sold everybody on it being the final one. There's going to be a lot of demand for them to get back into it because of that. It's just, listen, Power Trip is never going to headline the festivals, okay? It's just not going to happen. Slayer will always be there to just fucking crack their backs and step on stage and pop their knees and fucking do their shit. It's just how it's always going to be until they're all dead.
I give it about a year until they get back together for a European festival, maybe Wacken or Hellfest or one of the big ones. They'll get a ton of money and they'll do it, and maybe it'll be they play Hell Awaits in full or Rain and Blood in full or something like that. It'll be some sort of event where they can get by without having to be like, it's not a tour. It's just we're playing a show. And while we're here in Germany, we might as well also play a couple other countries, too. But it's not a tour. It's fine.
It's the 30-somethingth anniversary of the Diabolus of Musica, guys. Come on down to Hellfest.
You might as well at that point.
Man, fucking stupid. I just want them off my radar. I want them to go away, and I don't want to see the article when they come back. I don't. Just go away, man.
I was flipping through some comments about like their last show, and people were like, I was there. It was amazing. I can't believe they played this. And it's like, they've been doing this for years. Why is this a shock? Why is this amazing to you? Slayer is going to sound like Slayer.
I was present for history. Me. The final time Slayer got on stage. Yay. Didn't their fucking manager just clarify they weren't doing that like a week ago?
Well, 2 weeks ago, he said they were, and then a week ago, he's like, well, yeah, they're probably not going to do like what all these other bands do, or like create a fake contract that they then rip up like Motley Crue.
I hope that we start seeing the remainder of these bands drop like flies. Like, the big four can have a big exit. It's all done. I don't want any more of it anymore, you know?
Well, Metallica will never stop. You know that.
I don't know, man. They're not doing so hot right now, and I know that James is in rehab again, right?
Again, yeah.
So remember how well that went last few times that happened? It's just, I don't know.
I just think these bands have been going at it for so long that they don't know how to stop or they can't stop. Like, I can't imagine Anthrax just being like, yep, we're done, bye. Like, they're just going to keep playing. Even Megadeth, like, Dave Mustaine's going through cancer treatment, and they're like still like doing the Mega Death Cruise and all these other things.
Oh, don't worry, guys, I'll be back. This isn't gonna stop me. I'm like, I hope it stops you. Just take a fucking stop. You have an entire vineyard you own. You're fine. Retire.
Just rest.
You have decades of music to look back on with pride. Just fucking stop. And that's the thing, is that success is a mental illness. These guys don't know how to stop. That's why we have billionaires.
The only cure is to never succeed.
That's right. The only cure is failure. I mean, Dave Mustaine will never outsell Metallica, so as far as he's concerned, he's already failed.
Ouch.
That's just how he feels. That's his line of success. That's why he started Megadeth in the first place, and he's never made it there. So his Maseratis and his mansions and his vineyard mean fucking nothing to him because he's not as big as Lars' band.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Not much you could do.
Right. Oh, well. But us regular folk, we look at a band like that and we're just like, God, you guys have more money than you'll ever spend in an entire lifetime. Why are you still doing these things for money? And I just think when the dollar signs get too big for some people, they just don't know how to stop. They just have to keep that account growing. and they have to keep that lifestyle maintained and make it more exuberant. I don't know. And I'm sure when you're up in like the upper echelon, you see people richer than you somehow, and you're jealous and you gotta keep it going.
I mean, I want a Lamborghini with a machine gun turret on top of it.
I want a Lamborghini in my garage that I can point at in front of some books.
That you never ever drive.
Drive through the Hollywood Hills. Because I read. And reading made me a billionaire.
I read books.
I read books. I read Harry Potter. I never made $1 million.
Have you actually read Harry Potter?
Yeah. Like, what, 5 out of 7 books?
I don't know. I don't read. Reading's for suckers.
Because it took 10 years to get them all out, and it's like when I started, I was 12, and when they ended, I was 22. And as a 22-year-old man, it's like, no, I'm not going to pick up the last Harry Potter. Thank you.
I'm going to watch the movie like a real adult.
Yeah, right. I didn't do that either. I didn't know how it ends. I think they all die, right?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Probably. I bet you there won't be like the final Harry Potter book either. It's like Slayer. It's J.K. Rowling lady. She's addicted to success. She can't stop.
Yeah, well, she's done other stuff that's like in the same universe.
Right. Which didn't do so well because it's not a cute little boy with glasses and his magic wand.
Yeah, it's going to be like, you know, Harry King. Wow. Harry King.
Nailed King. It.
Harry King plays Hella Waits, or, you know, he just does solo stuff or puts out Harry King and the Goblet of Fire metal album.
If you don't think I'm not photoshopping Harry Potter and the Goblet and Hella Waits or whatever for this fucking podcast, dude, I can't. You interviewed Static X. That's important. I got to give you that. I got to give you some kind of Static X reference here.
Right? I mean, you could still Photoshop it and put it on Twitter and get hundreds of likes. And like 2 retweets.
Yeah. What was the last book? The last book was kind of a Slayer-sounding title anyway. Like Deathly something. Deathly Hollows.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Slayer song. That's
just as good as Repentless.
That's better than Repentless, I think.
It's real words.
Repentless Gilogy!
Burritoology.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seemed to make a career for myself photoshopping Kerry King. I wonder if it's going to ever catch up to me, but until that time, I think we're going to call it on this here podcast show, and we're going to take it over to Jordan speaking with Static X. You've all been great. We'll see you next week, and here's Static X.
You are listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show. With me, I have two very special guests, Tony and Ken from Static X. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good, man. Going great. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being on. I really appreciate it. You guys have been touring almost nonstop, it feels like, for a long time. It really is a world tour at this point. Even though you've been playing a while, how does it feel to come back to some of these songs that you maybe haven't played in over a decade or longer?
Yeah, it feels great, man. Just to revisit all these songs and getting to play with Kenny and Koichi again. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man.
Is it like riding a bike again? Is like, oh, this is how we do it. It's no problem.
Yeah, he never got off the bike.
Yeah, true. That's true. You took a break for a while.
Yeah. But I taught drums during that time.
So you never really stopped.
Yeah.
And it kind of was just like, you know, jumping right back on the bike. The three of us got together and started playing again. That first rehearsal, it just all came back like that. You know, so. Yeah, it was really cool.
So when you're teaching drums, are you just Mr. Ken, or do people know who you are?
It's Mr. J. So,
yeah. Mr. J.
Ironically, it is Mr. Ken, which I almost just busted out laughing. I've got a couple of students that call me that. Kind of funny. There's a few that... a couple of older... students that I have that are actually older than me that were fans of the band that I got because they were fans of the band, and a couple of the younger kids I teach, their parents knew about it, so yeah. And you know, one of the places I taught was at Guitar Center.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably once every couple of months I'd get somebody coming in, and then once we announced, then it was a lot more. You know, there was a generator, a little quite a bit more interest.
Sure, well, that means more business for you, so that's good.
Actually, at that time, you know, we had a lot of work to do, and I really wanted to train, and I made Tony this kind of deal where I said, look, I'll be in better shape at 53 than I was at 35, and I was, but I trained a lot, so I didn't teach during that time. I gave 2 weeks notice and just started playing every day.
Do people ask to learn metal, or do you have to teach, like, the Chainsmokers or whatever is popular right now?
It's a little bit of both. I had a couple of guys that were like, you know, teach me Sabaton and Five Finger. Those were two of the bigger ones. Had one young, the kid that wanted me to teach him Sabaton. He was in his teens, and he said, "Man, you know, I read your Wikipedia page, and you know, started teach me old Megadeth." You know, so. But yeah, for the most part, a lot of 21 Pilots, Imagine Dragons. But, you know, nothing wrong with that.
No,
you gotta start somewhere.
Exactly. You know? You need to learn somewhere, and then you can move on to blast beats and double bass.
And that's the thing. I'm probably more, you know, more geared towards like a Stuart Copeland type drummer. I really appreciate that, what he does and how he voices stuff. And just it's simple, straightforward. There's still something about it. He's got some subtlety to him, and I love that. So, yeah, that applied.
So you've been having Zero doing vocals on this tour. Was the plan always to use live vocals, or perhaps live video with backing, or, if money allowed it, a hologram?
Yeah, you know, the hologram thing came up and got shot down pretty quick. You know, it's just... you know, the band was always about that energy between the four dudes on stage, and you just don't get that with a hologram, you know? So we figured out pretty quickly that it had to be somebody up on stage. And so, we knew it had to happen organically.
Yeah, there's a weird hollowness to seeing a Dio hologram up there playing a recording, so... I mean, should you guys ever not want to play live anymore or shuffle off this mortal coil, would you want the band to continue with maybe someone else wearing a Ken mask or, you know, dressing like you, for example? Is that an option?
Like Kiss, you know?
Yeah, something like that. The new Peter Criss, the new Ken, or something like that.
Fake ace, I mean, up there, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know...
You know, if it's something the fans want to see, and who am I to say no?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I think, I mean, you know, I was, somebody came after me. A couple of guys came after me. So, you know, it'd be pretty selfish of me to say, you know, I wouldn't want anybody else to, you know, oh, nobody else should hear Static X because I'm not in it. That's not for me to say. You know?
I mean, I've seen live video. We see people out in the parking lot for the show right now. There's still demand for it. People still want to see you guys.
Yeah.
So I think there is that potential to keep going in some way or another. And you know, does that...
Well, I think people focused on the mask, and you still see comments online from time to time, well, Wayne Static's not there. And I'm like, okay, how about The Who? Or Alice in Chains? Or, I mean, you just go The Rolling Stones... You go back through history, and everybody's lost somebody. I mean, it's so common. It's rock and roll. It's almost, you know, it's kind of what happens.
Right.
So, we just never really gave it that much credence. The parking lot's kind of proof.
I mean, as a fan of the band, I never got to see you guys originally or really in any form. So to me as a fan, this is an opportunity to finally hear some of those songs that I really loved. Like when I started to get into heavy metal, I saw the Push It video late at night on MTV. I heard I'm With Stupid on 92.3 K-Rock in New York. So like as a fan, this is great. Like I can finally... get a chance. And it kind of bums me out in a way of like how there used to be media behind metal bands during that time, and now it's moved on to other things. And like, while the internet's here, and like, there's Bandcamp and all these other places where you can discover all sorts of bands, there's kind of like a medium level for anyone. There's no major bands, there's no like massive tours anymore, and just, I guess, you guys being in the game so long, you can kind of speak to that a little bit.
Well, there's definitely we were just discussing this in the last interview, whereas, you know, we kind of feel sorry for younger bands in that everything is social media driven. Mm-hmm. And it is, everybody's a medium band, you know? And we got to experience some pretty big Shed tours, and I mean, you know, doing Ozfest a couple of times. And I mean, there's still some of that out there, but you're right. I think, you know, everybody's got a podcast now, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True.
So I think that it's just, you know, I don't know what to tell you about that. That's the world we live in.
Yeah.
Everything's sped up. You know, I just tell people, sit back, relax, you know. There's still ways to find bands out there that you like, you know. Whereas, you know, we're from the age where you used to see, like, an album cover and go, oh, cool, it's got a skull.
Check this out.
Yeah, and trust me, I threw away as many albums as I bought. But, you know, there's something to be said for having that audio access to a band. The downside is you've got that audio access to a band, but you still got to put it out strong material.
Right. So. Speaking of strong material, you have Project Regeneration coming out at the end of May. Is that just reworked demos, like you're replaying it, or how does it exactly work?
Yeah, well, it started out with five demos that a producer friend of ours gave to me that he received from Wayne before his passing. And that stuff was, like, really basic, you know, a couple guitar riffs and a drum program, which in a way was kind of cool because that's how Wayne would bring in ideas into the rehearsal space, and that's all the songs for Wisconsin Death Trip got written. So that was really cool. And then we discovered these three songs that didn't make the Start of War record. And those songs, we reworked all the music, kept Wayne's vocal performances. And then this later stuff, we found a bunch of demos. And a lot of the stuff didn't even have music on it. It was just Wayne's vocals. Mm-hmm. And so we had to write a bunch of new music for that. We're at the point now where the majority of the record will have Wayne's vocals on, so it should be cool.
I know there was talk of, or at least reporting, that there might be some different vocalists jumping in on that. Is that still the plan?
Initially, that was the idea because, you know, we only had that one song with Wayne's vocals on, so we're like, well, we got to have somebody sing on it.
Right.
But yeah, now, you know, we're at that point where, like, we don't really need all the guest vocalists, and as of now, the only guest vocal performance on the record will be Al Jorgensen from Ministry.
Well, that's a pretty good person to have. Is there a plan to tour following that up?
Maybe, I don't know. We're just like we're going to get this tour done, and then we're going to finish the record, and that's it. We're like, just get the fucking record done.
Yeah.
And then we'll figure it out from there, so yeah. We'll see.
Burn that bridge when we come to it.
You know, I mean, we've already delayed it a couple of times, so we're just like, come on, let's just get this thing done, man, you know? So that's the main goal, and then we'll figure everything out from there.
On top of the touring, and then the album, you guys have a beer coming out, too. Evil Disco Hell?
Oh, yeah.
How does that collaboration work?
I haven't even tasted it yet because the guys are in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So when we get to Chicago, they're bringing the sample for me to taste. And if it's good, which I expect it will be, then I think we'll take the next step to, you know, see about going in production and all that stuff. So, yeah.
you take a sip and you got more hops and just slide it back to them and they work on it.
Yeah, yeah, basically. So we'll see, man. Looking forward to it, though.
Would you want the Static X name on more products like that? A hot sauce called Cannibal? Or, yeah, kids' clothes called I'm a Stupid or something like that?
Yeah, don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, if Kiss can put their name on coffins and condoms, right? I don't see why not.
Yeah, but, and that's a cradle to the grave right there, condoms and coffins. I don't know. It's all marketing now. Why not?
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's actually about 15 minutes from here, there's a restaurant called Boneheads that does, like, heavy metal-inspired, like, wings and burgers.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have a burger called the Wisconsin Death Trap. And it's... I actually wrote it down to see if this would be of any actual interest. It's two bacon-stuffed grilled cheese for bread on a burger with mozzarella sticks, cheddar cheese, bacon, and honey mustard.
That is a lot of cheese.
Yeah. Is that too much cheese?
It's Wisconsin.
It is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But maybe that much cheese should be for, like, a power metal band.
I'm just thinking... All that cheese will, you know, surefire way to get a heart attack and, rest the trip to death. You know?
The prophecy has been foretold with all the cheese. So, with all this touring, what do you guys do in your downtime? Is it a lot of Netflix, books?
I play video games most of the day. Kenny reads, Koichi just plays guitar.
Yeah, Koichi does a lot of... But he plays guitar. If there's been a few places we've played where there's been a piano handy, and he's a pianist, so he does that. He's online. You know, Koichi's really good with social media.
Oh, yeah. He's better at it than I am. That's true.
So,
What are you reading right now?
I'm actually reading a book about the... 1911 Indy 500, the first one. There's a little bit of controversy about it. I grew up close to it and love racing, so.
Are you going to see that movie that just came out? Was it Ford versus Mustang?
Ford versus Ferrari, absolutely.
That looks like something that would be pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I know all the story. I know all the urban legends behind Ken Miles. And, and I've actually seen... You know, the 67 GT40 Mark IV. I've seen that in person at the Peterson Museum. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So it'll be like comic book fans watching a Marvel movie. You can point out, that's not how it happened.
Well, and that's, I know I'm already going to be disappointed in the fact that I believe they left out Indianapolis Corner from the Le Mans circuit. Somebody's drawing a map of it, or somebody has a map of it, and they leave out the Indianapolis curve, which is kind of don't want to do that.
Blasphemy.
Yeah, it is. Indianapolis? Come on, man.
And what video games are you playing right now?
Most of the time, when I get online, I'm doing Destiny 2. I don't think that's going to happen today, because the Wi-Fi here sucks. But I just picked up the expansion for Rage 2, so I started messing around with that last night.
So a lot of online, a lot of shooters, that sort of thing?
Yeah, a lot of shooters, mostly.
No Death Stranding, where you have to shake a baby and that's a video game?
You know, I love all the Metal Gear games, but I don't know, this new one by Hideo just doesn't seem like it's... Like, the story looks great, but just the core mechanics of it, just walking, I don't know. I just got to try it, you know. But initial reaction, I don't know, man. But we'll see.
From a lot of people that I've heard who have played it, they say they love it, but they can't tell you why. And that's just, the weirdest review I've ever heard for a video game.
Yeah. So it's a weird game.
So, I know, beyond Static X, you're also in Fear Factory still, sort of?
The band's not doing anything, so, right. You know, I, if, uh, if Dino called and said, "Hey man, we got some shows coming up," and he's like, "You gotta work."
I know.
But it's a good work.
Yeah. Oh wait, beats any other supposed job, to say? I mean, I thought you were wearing a mask.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. The first gig we ever did, Asesino, Raymond Herr, Fear Factory's original drummer, was still in Asesino, and so we pull up in a van and we're wearing our masks and we got hoods on and we're trying to be all mysterious and shit, and so we're walking from the van into the venue, and you know, fans are out there, "Hey Tony, hey Raymond, hey Dino," so we get into the dressing room, and Raymond's like, "Well, why the fuck are we wearing the masks then?" But yeah, we just do it because it's fun. You know? Yeah. Like, yeah, everybody knows.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.